This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Get it on, come on, breathe in again. Shake it up, look out.
Let's go, Mets. LGM. Let's go, Mets. Grimace. Timmy Trumpet.
These are my Mets.
Seymour Wiener.
I don't hate the Mets.
Rally Pimp.
These are my Mets.
Playoff Pumpkin.
Action.
Oh, I can't wait to go to Citi Field this year. It's going to be jumping. Queen's Best Dance Crew, they're going to be pop, lock, and drop it. Pop, lock, and drop it. 888-808-1019. Talking baseball, talking about the Yanks. During the commercial break, I'm watching Yankees Encore, and I like that they have the bug back that says Encore. I feel like growing up, it was always Yankees Encore when they had the replay. Then for a while, they didn't have that. I don't know. It gives us some nostalgia. Anyway. Third inning, we saw the play where Dominguez, one, was not lined up correctly in left field, or maybe he was lined up correctly. Who knows? The scouting report of spring training. I don't even know it was up at the plate, but he was lined up so far away from the foul line, and then he was not hustling. And that clip has gone viral a little bit because the pitcher kind of showed him up. He didn't mean to show him up, Jeff Hartlieb. But he puts his hands out like, come on, bro. That ball hung in the air and bounced in fair territory. If Dominguez was lined up better, even if he was just running, he wasn't running. This is a guy that just showed you he can run 30 miles an hour to first base. So when he doesn't run and make that play, the pitcher's like, come on. But I'm looking at the pitcher like, you come on, bro. You've been in camp. You know Dominguez is learning. You know this is going to be a journey. You know this is going to be adventures with Dominguez in left field all year. And yeah, you know, Yankee fans are ruthless. Like, I was at that game. A lot of people were. Derek Jeter Hall of Fame ceremony night where Hicks didn't play that ball right. Like, Yankee fans are going to boo Dominguez in left field. They're not going to make it easy for him. Some of them won't even know who he is. And if he doesn't make the play, boo. So, yeah, get ready for that as well. That's like the least of our issues right now. There's a lot of other fish to fry. But yeah, Dominguez in left field, it is just an adventure. And I told you on February 27th when I got on, like, he's not going to be able to just figure it out in a month. You can have all these reps. You can have Bernie Williams out there talking to him. You can whatever. Put Trent Grisham there, right? Trent Grisham runs like a gazelle and makes it so easy looking. Like, put Trent Grisham in left field. They won't. They won't. What do I know?
You can't, because it's Jason. You need Dominguez to be the Martian, right?
And you know what? Cashman spoke on it too. And I don't know if we have the clip, but we don't need the clip. Cashman said, like, that's the lane for him, and they hope that he takes it. And
yeah.
It's like,
No, and I think at this
stop creating lanes. Stop creating lanes for people and saying, well, Jazz, here's your lane. It's third base.
I do. I get that from a fan's perspective, but I do wonder if Cashman is thinking, man, if we lost Cole already, if we might lose Stanton, this might be a trial and error year to see if these guys.
All right, you gotta cut the mic. You think Brian Cashman?
GM, he's an analytical thinker.
There is no trial and error year. There is no, you got to win. They just made the most money they ever made going to the World Series. The American League is quote-unquote weak. They got to get back. There is no trial and error. They got to win, bro. They have to win. Roscoe is in Brooklyn. What's up, bro? You're back on the Fan.
I don't know who you're talking to, but what he
Holy
said, Colin, what are you talking about?
That's such a Mets fan thing, right? They came into the season last year trial and error. This is an evaluation year. The Yankees don't have evaluation years.
Yo, man, give them a cookie, man. They got homeboy. All right, we good. I just feel like the whole day today, like you're the only one I can really listen to now, man. Because it's like everything is, don't worry about us, man. This is the year Cashman got to show up. Now, real quick, Keith, when I say Cashman got to show up, like he got to pull this one off.
This better be, I said last year was supposed to be his magnum opus at the deadline, and he gave us Jazz and Mark Leiter Jr. All right, this better be masterful. Go get everybody at this deadline.
David Blaine style.
Houdini.
That's what you better be.
Magic.
Yep, what I'm saying is it that the organization doesn't take care of their players in the off season? Because Keith, we always I know every team has injuries, but I feel like Cole, I feel like he was hurt last year and he gave his all. I get it. I feel like, come on, man, you're telling me Tommy John, he's gonna miss a whole year. And then who's to say he's going to come next year? Right? You know what I mean? That takes
It's going to be a while. He might not be back till
we might see him
in September of 2026, bro. We're off that for a while.
And last thing, Keith, can't we start doing what the Dodgers is doing with the deferral? Is it because our tax? In Cali, ain't no state taxes, correct?
It's not because of that. I'll speak on it. Thanks for the call, Roscoe. it's not because of the tax. But what you were saying about, I heard people saying, fire the strength and conditioning team, fire the medical staff. They did that. They did that after the 2019 next man up season when everybody was hurt, where Mike Tauchman and Mike Ford were playing. You know what I'm saying? When Breivik Valera was out there, when Cameron Maben was playing, when Gio Urshela emerged. They did that. It's not that. It's not that. I think after the season, they let these guys, think about it. Halloween happens, okay? Baseball is over. They let these guys go home November, Thanksgiving, December, Christmas. A lot of them do report to the facility in Tampa after the new year, January, first week of January. But for the most part, they leave these guys alone. They're grown men. And that's why I said, Stanton is immune to criticism because of the performance that he put on in the postseason again. But I am disappointed in a 35-year-old veteran making $32 million not reporting that, I was hurt at the end of the season. I need this checked out. Because if Stanton would have got the surgery November, December, January, he'd be on the mend right now to come back. I just think it's inevitable for him to get this surgery. I think at some point, I don't expect him to just get in a hyperbaric chamber and or sleep it off. There's no magic. What's he going to have, a sensu bean? He's not going to just magically get his elbows back. So he's going to try and ramp up after rest, and they're going to get surgery, and he's going to be shut down for the year. So, and then can't we just do what the Dodgers do? No. No one in baseball can. You can defer some contracts. The Mets have deferred contracts. But, I think I heard the Yankee. I think Hal said something along the lines of, not being able to do what the Dodgers do and not wanting to. They don't want to be paying players that aren't on the team 10 years from now. And the reason that the Dodgers can do all that, it's not the taxes in California. It's because of the Guggenheim partners, the people that own the team. Just go to your handy-dandy search engine and type in Guggenheim Baseball, Guggenheim Partners, Guggenheim, and read a little bit about the banks and the PE firms and how they're able to do all. This is what they do, investing, banking, deferring money, getting a return on investment. They have it all figured out. Rick is in Morristown, New Jersey. Rick, you're next on the Fan. Go for it.
Hey, man, I'm glad you led into the luxury tax threshold. You know, I see here that this year it's going to be, what, $241 million? I always thought the Yankees had payrolls around $300 million.
Yeah, I thought the luxury tax was $301 million, and the Yankees are at $307, $308, so they're just above it.
It's actually $241 million. I just don't get it.
Okay, it is. 2025 luxury tax threshold is $241 million.
And what is it, 1.5 times the cost for a player?
Yeah, 110% on the dollar?
Or 150%?
Either way.
It's a lot of money, but I just don't understand, you know, how come the escalators haven't gone up higher. I mean, I know that they bargained this back in 2022. Why isn't it higher or based on inflation? I mean, we've had some really crazy numbers over the last couple of years. These numbers should be much higher.
I don't know. It's to me, it's just like, at the end of the day, they have it. At the end of the day, like, it's not that big of a penalty.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then I'm reading here that the commissioner of baseball has discretion of excess funds left over that aren't distributed to retirement funds and et cetera. So there's probably a lot of money floating around. Yeah,
Major League Baseball made over $12 billion last year. Supposedly they're up 33%. I don't know, man. I don't trust any of them. From the lockout to now, where they wouldn't show their books, and like, I just think they all have a ton of money and they don't want to spend it because they want to have money, as most people are like that. But their businesses, their franchises, they're supposed to be putting it back into the team. They're supposed to be spending it on players, but majority of the league doesn't. The Mets do, the Yankees do, the Dodgers do. The rest of these teams, like, their payrolls are way low.
I know, it's like welfare for billionaires. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes sense as far as them being greedy and not wanting to spend the money. And we can't even call it greed. It's them making a profit and saying, like, no, we don't have to spend all of this money to field the team. We don't have to go out there and buy the most expensive players. Right? We just need to have a roster and a couple good players.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees should really be taking on Nolan Arenado. I mean, he'd be a great player for them. And, you know, if Goldschmidt has a good year, I mean, they would basically cancel out Stanton's loss. You know what I mean?
In theory, but you also have the loss to Soto. Thanks for the call, Rick. 888-808-1019. I'm looking at an article right here, Luxury Tax Breakdown. This is from Sports Illustrated. Mets 2025 payroll hits $320 million. This is on February 8th. Luxury tax penalty climbs to $79 million. Let me keep going. The 2025 luxury tax threshold is $241 million, meaning the Mets are about $79 million over the limit. And then when you go down, as a team exceeding the highest penalty tier, $290. So that's the thing. There's tiers. $297 million. The Mets are subject to a surcharge of 110% on every dollar spent beyond that breakpoint. But Steve Cohen doesn't care. He's well over it now. I think he's at $333. Now, I don't know. The way I look at it is, like, if you have holes and you have needs and you're putting a self-imposed tax, like, it's not a salary cap sport and it's not that much money. I understand if you go out and add a Juan Soto who's, you know, making $50 million, over $50 million, like, that is a lot if you're already there. But the Yankees are not. The Yankees are under. The Yankees pivoted. The money that the Yankees were going to pay Juan Soto, which was not 51 either, was like 47.5. They pivoted and stayed right there. So I don't know, man. I'm over talking about it. Hal came out and told you we're at $308 million, and we don't feel like spending, you know, the most money correlates with having the best team, or we don't have to spend more money to have a winning team, a championship caliber team, and that you have to have a mix of young players and developed players. And I don't want to hear it, because you just lost to the Dodgers, who went out and gave Ohtani that contract and spent $1 billion. Yeah, they deferred it, but they went out and spent the money last offseason a year ago, and it turned into them winning the World Series, and then they won the World Series, they mocked you, and then again, they went out and spent more money, got even better, and they're in prime position to go back-to-back and knock you off as the last team to go back-to-back. I would want to do something about that, and I'd say the money doesn't matter because we just went to the World Series and made a franchise record amount of money. We made $109 million off the World Series. We made $411 million off of last season. So let's do it again. Let's field a team that can get back to the World Series, and maybe we'll make more than that this year. Maybe we'll make $450 million. Maybe we'll bring in $125 million for this World Series. No? I don't know. Matt is in Bergen County on the Fan. You got it, Matt.
Hey, Keith. First time caller. I wish you came to my high school today. I was really missing that. I have testing right now. But I just want to talk about how desperate Yankee fans are for a World Series win and to win over 100 games every season when that just isn't going to happen because it's baseball, you know?
I was about to say, I don't care if it's 100 wins. We've done that before and been beat by the Astros in the ALCS. It's a World Series. We need a damn parade. When I say I'm getting too old, I'm going to be too old to party all day for that parade in the next, like, 5 years. I'm still in enough of my prime where if they win the World Series this year, I'm partying all day, all night. I might go on a 2-3-day bender.
Well, I mean, I'm 16 years old. I haven't seen a World Series, so I would love that, but that just had to staring at my couch. I mean, staring at my TV on my couch while Gerrit Cole, like, lost in the fifth inning or the Yankees did.
Yeah, it sucked. I was physically there, and I was sweating and wanted to throw up, wanted to run on the field and scream, and yeah, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Matt. I'll say this, like, there are a lot of Yankee fans with unrealistic expectations for the team and for the sport. The Yankees are competitive, do win, and go to the postseason most years. I do expect them to go to the postseason again this year. I think I'd be drunk getting on the air and saying I expect them to win the World Series, but I can't say that they can't. I can't say that you know, that's not possible when they haven't started playing yet. There's too much unknown. But where I'm at is, okay, you lose your game one starter, you lose your ace. And Cole will be back after he gets his surgery. He'll be a pitching coach on this team. He'll be some type of a factor on this team. But, like, you need to replace that, and you still have two holes in the lineup at DH and at third base. And now you have multiple holes and issues where you are weakened. And if you start this season slow, it's going to get loud. And as much as I'm optimistic right now, as much as I'm preaching positivity and not jumping off the ship and riding and believing, hell, I'm calling them out. If these things pop up, like Dominguez dropping fly balls, or, you know, Dom Smith has to DH or Ben Rice is DH and they're 0-4, and, you know, if Cabrera is not hitting, and if some of these other guys are not hitting, like, we're going to certainly talk about it. I'll be here to take your calls at 888-808-1019. We're not going to hide from it. When we come back, I'll start to sprinkle in some of the conversation around Justin Fields, the Jets, Daniel Jones signing with the Colts, the G-men going defense. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Today was a good day. I think most of the time when this song hits, you reflect on the day. And as we get to the end of the day here, I do want to sprinkle in some football, some NFL football, so that when the clock strikes 12 and we turn to March 12th. Good morning, good morning. We can take some calls on the Jets, on the Giants, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields. So here's my takes quickly. And, you know, I'll elaborate and go into them the next hour. I think Justin Fields, people just got to give him an opportunity to grow. I think he learned a lot this past year being benched. I think he's fresh. I think he got to see the Steelers culture up front or up close and personal. And I think that's big going from Chicago to Pittsburgh and now coming into the Jets, who have been a laughing stock. And they need a leader. They need a culture changer. And I think he can be a part of that. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, I think it's clear that he's going to Pittsburgh if he's going anywhere. I know the Vikings came out and said J.J. McCarthy is their starting quarterback. I don't really know how they could do that or really be serious about that, but whatever. They drafted him last year. If he's healthy, he's ready to go. That's who they're rolling with. But I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to complete the full circle of Brett Favre. And, you know, him going to Sixburg with Mike Tomlin, and I could see it. If Mike Tomlin is down for the shenanigans for a year with DK Metcalf and George Pickens, I could kind of see it. We're waiting on that shoe to drop. But, you know, earlier today we heard Daniel Jones, right? Diana Russini was saying the NFL world is waiting for Daniel Jones' decision. And, you know, Daniel Jones got picked up by the Vikings. He didn't play for them, but he was over there. So some of us thought he would have a chance to stay in Minnesota. No, he took a one-year, $14 million deal with $13.5 million guaranteed to join the Colts. And you know what? He, when it's all said and done, Daniel Jones is going to be one of the richer quarterbacks in this era based off of being a number six overall draft pick, getting that $40 million a year deal from the Giants. And now, even with this little $14 million, like, he's got a lot of football left in him. He's going to keep getting deals like this, and the money's just going to keep going up, and he's got money in the bank. So he's got 100 mil. He's going to be one of the, like, richer backup quarterbacks, and I don't know if he's the backup in Indy. All he's got to do is be in shape condition-wise to beat out Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson was tapping on his helmet after scrambling. Oh, I need a break. I've never seen that in my life. Never. I don't think any of us have. In my little football life, I never heard of the quarterback tapping himself out of the game because he was winded. You better stand in that huddle and catch your breath. You better figure it out. I still think that's hilarious. Bro said he did a lot of running. He needed to come out. You don't come out of the game? What are you saying? Anyway, now Daniel Jones is going to go compete with him. There were some rumors that the Giants might be interested in trading for Anthony Richardson. The Giants need to be on the phone with Mike Vrabel. They need to be on the phone with whoever the GM is up there in New England. Call Bob Kraft. Get Joe Milton. I'd be trying to trade for Joe Milton right now, straight up. I'd try to at least, you know, see what they want for him. But, yeah, Daniel Jones, I think, can win that job. And then, of course, it's going to fall right back on Shane and Dable, and this Giants regime is going to fall right on them if he starts and he succeeds and he plays well. When we come back, I'll play a clip from Javon Holland, new safety from Miami, who chose to sign with the Giants. And it seems like the Giants are prioritizing defense. I know they caught a lot of flack from paying Darius Slayton more money or the same amount of money that they would have to pay Saquon Barkley. But, yeah, we'll start to get in those topics around Justin Fields and the Jets, Daniel Jones signing with the Colts, you know, Aaron Rodgers potentially with the Steelers, and then ultimately, who do the Giants sign? Jameis Winston? Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson in Tennessee. I think Ciara and those kids rather be in Jersey and New York. I think Russ rather come to the Giants. But we're still waiting on all of those signings and the quarterback carousel to come to a stop. 888-808-1019. Limo driver Ed, I got to you. You got it.
I tell you, my brother. It is crazy out here. Anytime I hear you guys on bet about talking about some of these baseball players, how the hell are they in the league then? Because the way y'all talk about these guys like bad news. Or, you know, why are they getting paid? If they can't catch, they don't do this. They don't run this out. What is going on with these sports, bro? I mean, because the way y'all guys sit up here and talk to them, like these guys, man, need to be... in triple, you know, double.
And none of us could do what they do for an inning, but... we're very critical of them, and we expect them to be perfect, and baseball is a game of failure. But that's why they pay them the big bucks, man.
I mean, I hear you saying a dude can't play in the outfield. Like, what the hell
is this? I'm not saying Dominguez can't play. I'm saying that, like, he's shown us a lot of alarming things where it's going to be an issue in the season, and the Yankees seem to be fine with it. They want the better defense up the middle, so be it. Ball will find you, though. I've been in there. I've seen the ball fall shallow left field. I've seen it fall fair in you know, right in that foul territory. It drops fair. I've seen it go into the gap left field in Yankee Stadium. There's a lot of ground to cover to throw a 22-year-old kid out there for the first time and say, figure it out, son.
Yeah, figure it out. Yeah, it's crazy. Now, listen, with Rodgers, past 3 years, can we please get rid of this man? Will he please retire?
No, I mean, he's not retiring. He's got a complex. Pittsburgh. He's got a God complex. I heard Tiki saying he's got a hero complex. He's not going out with, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji fired me. He's not retiring.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, he don't have to retire, but he ain't going to win no division. He may not get to the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's fooled people. I've taken so many calls since the end of the season. Keith, his stats, his touchdowns, his yards. I'm like, did you guys not watch him throw interceptions? Did you guys not watch him lose games? Did you guys not watch him not be able to do what he's done his whole career, which is drive in the fourth quarter and win the game? He's cooked.
That's what I'm saying. And listen, you know, I'm a Jets season ticket holder. I couldn't even get rid of my tickets, man, if I wanted to. I stayed outside the stadium last year. And the thing is, they talk about this young kid coming up there now. I'm going to like him because I'll tell you one thing. You look at us third and short. We was one of the worst teams in the league at third and short. Okay? This kid, what he's going to do is he's going to take off. That's the kind of quarterback we need. We need somebody. And, he, you know, after a while, I think he had unlearned. I think that he knows for a fact is, let me grab this money now. Because I tell you one thing, as a backup, you sure ain't getting no $30, $40 million.
Nah. But, you brought up a great point. I was talking about it last night. When I watched him with the Steelers, he was a threat in short yardage and goal line. Pick your poison. Yes. He can throw the ball. Yes. Like, people act like he can't throw the ball at all. He can throw the ball. He has to work on some of his touch and dropping the ball in, but that can be repped. He is a threat to run it. Like, you have him, Breece Hall, running zone read. You're going to get that third and one, that fourth
and
one.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
You're going to get that goal, that goal to go. Like, you're going to score touchdowns when you get in the red zone with him.
Now, many times that we've seen this happen, and we said, damn, he could have ran a couple yards. We didn't have that. We don't have a threat. You got to have it. Today's quarterbacks, you got to have that threat.
It's going to look so different, Ed, when you have a quarterback that is his size, his speed, that can just take off, and you feel like there's nothing there. You know what? Also, too, he took care of the ball. He didn't throw interceptions. And I also was saying the other night, he had a couple games where he got cooking with DJ Moore with the Bears, where DJ Moore wanted him to stay and didn't want them to get Caleb Williams. His boy is Garrett Wilson from college. You think they're not going to start repping and working together again and being like, yo, let's cook up. Let's win.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. But right now, too, man, I'm looking at all these players we losing, but where's the players coming back? I don't know. We didn't do anything. I seen one player that we got at Fields. We didn't get nobody else. So
yeah, Jamie and Sherwood. He came back.
Oh yeah, he did. That's right. Yeah, he did. And listen, man, my phone's been blowing up with the Jets because thing is, I told him I wasn't gonna do it no more. I'm not gonna be paying all this money, and we wasn't even winning. I'm coming always to Pennsylvania. Man, they still blowing my phone up. They got everybody from the front office calling me. I said, next thing you know, Aaron Glenn's gonna be calling me.
Hey, Ed, this is AG. I'd just like to introduce myself. I'm the new coach of the Jets. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ed. 888-808-1019. I did see a Dove Kleiman tweet. Is it time to stop sleeping on the Jets? And he took a screenshot of a Sam Block tweet where they listed Braylon Allen, 21, Olufashinu, 22, Breece Hall, 23, Garrett Wilson, 24, Sauce Gardner, 24, Will McDonald, 25, Justin Fields, 26, Jermaine Johnson, 26, Quinnen Williams, 27, Quincy Williams, 28. They have a young core of talented players. All of those guys that I named under 30 are good football players. Now they actually have some coaches.
Justin Fields isn't good.
You're bugging out. Like, Zach Wilson as your quarterback.
He wasn't good either.
You had Mike White as your quarterback.
He was not good either.
You had Trevor Siemian as your quarterback.
Good.
Tim Boyle.
They don't have good quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers did more harm than good.
Justin Fields has started 44 games in his career, 45 touchdowns, 31 interceptions, never made the postseason.
That's in the past.
I don't get that's what we have to go on.
That's with the Chicago Bears.
That's what we have to go on.
No,
and there's a reason the Bears quit on him, and there's a reason the Steelers benched
him. He's never been on a team with this much of a young core of talented players and these coaches.
Is it smart to have this many young players around the guy?
Yeah. These are proven players. These are young players, but they're proven. And I'm telling you the difference coaching makes.
Coach?
You haven't had the right coaches in the building.
And a first-time coach?
It's a blind leading the blind. Yeah, but Aaron Glenn is a first-time coach, but he's done every single thing from be a scout to being a position coach to being a coordinator.
All I know, fair, all I know is he was with Mike Tomlin last year, who was a top-tier coach, and Tomlin thought he was trash.
Tomlin never said he was trash.
When you bench him for Russell Wilson, it means you're trash.
Out of respect for Russell Wilson as a Super Bowl winning, should have been a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, and to get their passing game going, because Russell had the touch. Russell threw the moon ball. Russell could get the ball to George Pickens. I feel like Justin Fields is more of a thrower of the ball. It's like he's so strong, he's throwing darts. You have to be able to place it in there over the safety, over the corner. You need to place it in there over the linebacker at times.
I hope I am wrong, but the Jets are setting themselves up for a 5-win season again because Justin Fields has never proven that he can do it at this level.
Listen, I ask you Jets fans who hurt you, but I know. You all talk like you've just been hurt. You've just been hurt beyond you just can't believe.
Can you blame us?
No, because
that's the reason then. That's why.
It's a long drought. You're a laughing stock of sports. But what if this is the change? What if these are the guys? What if these are the actual smart guys that make the right decisions and put together a team where you're like, wait a minute, we can beat the Patriots twice. Wait a minute. Now we look like we can go toe-to-toe with Miami. Do we dare say that they can knock off the Bills? Like, maybe. We don't know yet. Coaching matters, and young talent matters, and now they get Aaron Rodgers out of the building and his influence. I think they're on their way. They might not be a winning team this year, but I think they're on their way to ending that playoff drought. 888-808-1019. John is in Bergen County on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, Keith. It's John from Bergen County. I was at one of your sessions today at the school, and I wanted to just let all your listeners know how awesome you were, how respectful you were, humble. Your story was inspiring, and I think, in this industry, you're doing it the right way, and I think, it was a great lesson for all the kids. So I think, keep doing what you're doing, and I'm really excited to follow your career and see where you go.
I'm extremely flattered. Thank you for calling and saying all that. And again, it was an honor to be there. I appreciate you guys having me. I went to sleep last night at 4 a.m. I got up at 9:30 to edit my PowerPoint. I still had two typos in it after reading it over, but you guys didn't give me a hard time, and I think everybody enjoyed it, and I really have fun, talking to the 9th graders, the 10th graders, and playing the little game that we played. So, yeah, shout out to, you guys for bringing me in and for how many people have called tonight to say thank you. Like, that's real. That's real. That's extremely humbling and flattering. Thank you. Thanks, John. I thought he was going to say something else. That's it. So, yeah, if you haven't caught on from 10 p.m. to now, I went to the Torah Academy of Bergen County, and I set out a while ago to start doing public speaking. I actually started here at WFAN. We had the Urban League come in, I think, 2 years ago, and Spike threw me in to talk to the Urban League boys. It was me and Tiki on a panel, and Tiki has a great story, but I think my story resonated with the young guys more just because I'm younger and I'm not a pro athlete. And some of the people after that were like, you have a great story, you have a great voice, you're good at storytelling, you should pursue this. And then I did it again with 94.7 The Block. I think Skip from 94.7 The Block, we talked to the young girls from the Urban League here, and I was like, wait, maybe this is something that I can pursue. It's just, it's weird because it's like, you don't know when you're at the level of being like, here's how I made it. But I am at that level now. And humbly, I want to do it because, man, there were so many years I was young and struggling and not making it. There were so many years where I was questioning myself. There were so many years where I almost turned back and gave up. And if I can give little nuggets and little pieces of game to young people that aspire to be in radio and TV and media, why not, man? Why not? So, like I said, I went to sleep at 4. I was all 5.5 hours of sleep, but I had enough energy for that. And, I'm going to keep booking some schools, man. Shout out to the young boys over there that had me come in today. 888-808-1019. Now we're talking football on the Fan, but if you're on hold to talk Yankees, I will get back to you. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
That's that Bronx music, or that Queens music, but they play this in the Bronx. You know what I mean. Mobb Deep. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a couple calls before we get to the 12 o'clock break and update. Avery in Manhattan back on the Fan. What's up? How you feeling out there?
Hey, Keith. I'm in Manhattan because I'm on break.
Oh, nice. Spring break. And you come back to spring break and Cole is completely broken.
Well, I wanted to... Right. I wanted to offer a little bit of a different perspective, potentially, to echo something that you've mentioned before, except I don't believe that they should use, first of all, there's nothing in my mind that thinks that there's actually a chance they're going to use that extra insurance money, considering what Cashman had to say today. But if they do decide to get over themselves and use that extra insurance money to do something, they still have to attack hitters, and if any, getting hitters, and if anything at all, more than before. If there's any opportunity to do that, now's the time. I think that I like Will Warren. I think he can figure it out. I think we can figure it out until Heel gets back, as long as nobody else gets hurt on the pitching staff. I don't think they should be pursuing an ace as much as they should be pursuing that position player more aggressively than before.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. Before Cole went down, I'm like, yo, we still need a bat. People were like, hey, Keith, they heard you on the facial hair policy. They heard you on the Frank Sinatra song. What's the next thing? I'm like, a bat. We need another bat in the lineup. Stanton is down, and third base is not that strong. We need another bat, and we still need another bat. And now we need another pitcher, so whatever, yo.
Now, to that luxury tax point that you guys were talking about before the Justin Fields conversation, I know, like you said, they can afford to go over the tax. I don't know what's holding them up. We can go in on a... endless spiral of things about why that may or may not be.
What's holding them up is not wanting to spend money that they don't have to spend. We think they have to. They're looking at us.
Yes.
We don't have to.
If you can avoid penalty, you try to avoid penalty, right?
If you have a bill that they tell you got to pay by March 15th, you pay it by March 15th, because if you pay it after March 15th, you got to pay an extra $50 fee on it. You try to avoid that. That's how they look at this, like a bill.
Right. That's a good way to put it. But I still don't care.
I don't care either because you're rich. Like, I have to move like that. I can't afford an extra $50 on a bill. I got to pay it on time because an extra $50 is like, all right, that's too much. You are worth $7.5 billion. You made all of this money last year. Like, if there ever was a time to go over and go in, it's coming off a trip to the World Series. But what do I know, bro? Just a stupid brainwashed Yankee fan.
I mean, I just, listen, I'm with you, though. We got to go for the ride. We got to see how it goes and just keep pushing and see what happens. Because the fact of the matter is that with or without Cole, we are among the top teams of the American League. We still have one of the best rotations in the American League, and we're still a playoff team. And when you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. And honestly, last year, for most of the season, I didn't think that team had a shot, especially for that stretch when we were the second worst team in baseball, but the White Sox don't count. So
there were plenty of times last year where they pissed me off. Losing that first game to the White Sox, losing to the Reds, losing to the Nationals. In June, they were getting beat by the Braves, the Orioles, the Dodgers. I'm like, this team is not really. But you know what I leaned on last year? I'm like, baseball is so random, and they do have Judge and Soto. If they figure it out a little bit, like, if the chips fall where they may, they had a course where they face the AL Central, and they got there and got it done. This year is going to be a different journey. Maybe they need to be the last wild card. Maybe they need to, scrap and claw and then get in and lean on experience from last year. It's a different team. I want to see what Belly looks like. I want to see what Goldie looks like.
Right.
I want to see a full year of Jazz. I want to be in there like PC Richardson when Devin Williams is striking people out to close the game. It's going to have a different look and feel to it. And so let's go for the ride.
I get it. I get the reactions from the Yankee fans about, oh, this is a complete and utter collapse because that's just how Yankee fans are. But the whole talk about how everybody's getting hurt, I know everybody's getting injured, but now it feels like just this one thing is like everybody's just going to full-blown panic. I mean, come on, you got to relax just a little bit and see what happens.
Yankee fans relax? No, they most of them hate the team.
As long as Judge is okay.
As long as Judge is okay. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Avery. Like, I'll say this. None of these injuries are surprising. You're surprised LeMahieu has a calf strain, is going to start on the IO? Oh, wait, you're surprised Luis Gil, who threw more innings than he ever threw in his life, coming off Tommy John, who we were monitoring last year. Like, you're surprised that guy's got a lat strain? Giancarlo Stanton, who injuries and being hurt is a part of his game. You're surprised Stanton's got tennis elbow. Oh, Garrett Cole, who deja vu missed the first half of last year and got scratched in spring training because there were elbow issues, had to go get an MRI and got shut down. You're surprised that he needs Tommy John? He needed it probably last year. These aren't surprising. So we push forward with what we have and who we have, and fingers crossed that these guys have some urgency. And not just at the deadline. The deadline is the last days, the last hours. You know, when they traded for John Birdie last year, and John Birdie, another injury-prone player, it was a move because they didn't have DJ and they didn't like Cabrera at third base. Now you like Cabrera a year later at third base, man, make a move and get another bat. And this is the last stretch here. We'll find out who's DFA'd and if they add to this team before opening day. Okay, we got a break. 888-808-1019. I'll say good morning on the other side.